Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I know for the year 2024, no, next week, I'm going to hit vision. I'm going to hit the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to hit following Shekinah glory. It's some themes I've preached before, but some new stuff mixed right in with it. And who knows what the future holds for us for 2024. But I do know this. I know the secret to success. I know the secret to joy. And I know the secret to happiness. And it's found in the Gospel of John, along with other places as well. And John in chapter 15. But before we look at chapter 15, let's look together at chapter 14. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. Again, chapters 14 and 15. The event, this happens right between the Last Supper, which is appropriate because we're going to celebrate it tonight, and the Garden of Gethsemane. And these are rich moments that Jesus shares with his disciples. And I'm not going to preach a funeral message this morning, but I got to read verses 1 through 7 in order to get to where I want to go this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Man, it's hard not to preach right there. Heaven's a place, and Jesus is not a deceiver. He didn't mix words. He didn't use a secret code. He spoke plainly. It says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, 327 times in the word of God, we're told about heaven. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, many of us could quote this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Definite articles, the way, not a way, the truth, not a truth, and the life, not a life. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Philip says, God, if you just show us Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, well, that'll be enough. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus again proclaims his deity. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Let's stop and pray right there. Father, I pray your blessing upon what we're going to read right now, these next several verses, and as we get into chapter 15. I pray that you would encourage the weakest saint of God, the weakest child of God that is struggling in the world today and doesn't know success and peace and joy and happiness. I pray for also that one that is farthest from you and that one that is closest to you. Encourage us this morning. Take the word of God and feed us, not our souls, but our spirits. Make us strong in the things of God and not the things of the flesh. If there's someone here not born again, we pray for their salvation. May we take the challenge of Jesus teaching and preaching here, take it to heart and live it in the year 2024. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to read verse 12 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, Jesus did a lot of wonderful works while he was here on this earth. And the 3 years of his ministry, just the ones we have recorded, man, he raised the dead. He fed thousands. He met the needs of people everywhere he went. And Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going home to heaven now. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And I'm going to come back and take you back to heaven. Thomas says, how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Thomas said, man, and he speaks of the Father. And Thomas said, God, if you just show us the Father, if we could just see a manifestation of God the Father for just a moment, boy, that would really help us. And Jesus, almost in a shocking way, says, have I been with you this long, Thomas, and you don't know who I am? God the Father standing right before you in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. Soon God the Holy Spirit is going to come. The Trinity, the triunity, the deity of Christ. I want to say this has nothing to do with my message. It's just something that happened this week. I don't want to hear any jokes about God. God is not the butt of any joke. I never smile when someone includes God in a joke. Man, he's holy. He's deity. Don't try to bring God down and make him part of a joke. God's not a joke. Thomas said, Jesus, if you'd show us the Father, yeah, if I've been with you so long, you don't know who I am. Let me tell you something else, Thomas. I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be your advocate, and I'm going to be your mediator in heaven. And you're going to be able to accomplish greater works than I ever did when I was here on this earth. Man, that's a powerful thing. We've seen a lot of people saved. You heard it in Sunday school. 70 plus, not to add on because they're not less important. They are as important. The children's ministry, 10 more besides that. So you're talking about 80 plus people. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Actually, it happens quite regularly here. Man, God is just kind of bringing them in, And we don't have room for everybody. You know, when everybody comes, we're in a lot of trouble. This is a subdued crowd this morning. We got a few empty spots throughout the auditorium, but even this, maybe the weakest crowd of the year, the day before New Year's and during the Christmas vacation, this is a pretty strong crowd. It's stronger than most churches have. God says, I promise you this, God always has a Philadelphia church, and he's going to have one right up until the sound of the trumpet. He says, greater works than these shall you do. Man, that's quite a statement. That's not an exaggeration. That is the Son of God that said that. Let's look at verse 13. It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know why we're going to be able to do greater works than what Jesus did when he was here on this earth? Because that very same Jesus, our mediator, our advocate, is at the right hand of the throne of God, intercessing on behalf of the church, on behalf of you, and on behalf of me. He says, and when you pray, things are going to happen. I'll answer your prayers because I am the great high priest. It says in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know I will be able to do greater things? Because of Jesus. He's the reason. Now we'll go on to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not for sissies. Keep the commands of God. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. The comforter. The comforter has come. It was on the day of Pentecost. He's already here. The church was born on that day. When a sinner receives Jesus as their Savior, they are baptized into the family of God by the Holy Spirit. They are indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He has come. The Comforter has come. We're going to be able to do greater works because of Jesus. And how are we going to be able to do it? Because of the Holy Spirit. He's the how. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then he goes on and gives a description of the Holy Spirit. What we need at Fundamental Baptist Church in the year 2024, let me just cut to the quick before we look at what I want to preach here this morning, and I'll get it in the allotted time. We need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit so we have more Spirit-filled Christians. We have more Christians that are not doing their own thing and their own flesh and look at me, and more of all about Jesus. More of all about being an instrument than the hands of God. More about being that servant that Jesus described. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. Those that will be the greatest in the kingdom of God, they're the ones that are the servant of all. That we'd be that lower person, that one that boosts everybody else up. That one that simply wants the will of God to be accomplished. No accolades. Look at chapter 15. Chapter 15. We'll skip all the way over there. The secret, and then I'm going to explain the word. The secret to joy and happiness and success in the year 2024 is abiding in Christ. Being connected to God. It's more than that. It means more than that. I'm just trying to give you some build up towards it. We need to continue in Christ. That is the secret to joy. That is the secret to happiness. That is the secret to success. I don't know what the year 2024 holds. You don't know. I can't even keep my own heart beating. I'm in the hands of God. But I do know this, that if I'll abide in Christ, Jesus gives this promise to his disciples. Now, in the context, he's on his way. They finished the Last Supper. He's instructed them about heaven. He told them again, I am God the Father. And not only that, I'm going back to heaven and I'm going to send God the Comforter, God the Holy Spirit, come down to this earth, and he'll be with you, and he'll be with you forever when you get born again, and he'll empower you all along the way, and I'll be your representative before the throne of God. You say, how does that all fit together, being Trinity and one separate in office and one in essence? I don't know. God's bigger than my mind. I don't understand that. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't understand electricity. I know this, if I hit the switch, the light comes on. I don't know why, but I'm not going to stand around in the dark all day long. I'm going to hit the light. And I don't understand. God is deeper and bigger than Tim Rader. I mean, aren't you glad for that? And if you and I could figure God out, he wouldn't be much of a God. But he is consistent with the word of God. And his word never is going to fail. And he said, this is the way it is. I'm going. I'll represent you, God the Father, God the Son. I'll send the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to accomplish great things. 9 times, he says in the first 11 verses in chapter 15, abide with me. Synonym for abide, modern synonym, continue. Stay hooked up. Don't forsake me. Don't turn tail and run like we read about this morning in the book of Timothy. Don't go apostate. Don't go the way of the world. Say, Pastor, how in the world am I going to be able to do that? I will tell you this. You either abide or you shrivel. That's it. You either are growing or you're dying. And it's true spiritually as well. You'll never fall out of the hands of God. You don't lose your salvation. You don't do anything to get it, and you don't do anything to lose it. It's all of grace, and it's all of mercy, and thank God. And I don't understand his mercy either, but I'm sure glad for it. But I understand this, though. Anything that isn't growing is dying. You're either getting closer to God or you're getting farther from God. And it's up to you. I'm going to tell you how to abide this morning. And let me make it just very, very clear. Let me read first. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is chapter 15. They're walking to the garden. No doubt there was some vineyard there. No doubt he looked over here and he said, listen, I'm the true vine. My Father's the one that owns it all. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He works on us. He makes us more like Jesus as we grow through life, that it may bring forth more fruit. So I am to be fruitful. The key is I need to abide. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says it right away. The Bible or bust. You stay with the word of God. You become a student of the word of God, or it's bust. You're gonna end up making a shipwreck of the faith like Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Like Demas in 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Remember Demas? He's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Man, you either stay hooked up to the word of God or you're going to mess things up greatly this year and the year 2024. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that said this, and I quote him often. I know that. He's one of my heroes of the faith, been in heaven a long time, pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, really shook the world for Christ. He kind of was the first independent Baptist, left the Baptist Union. I'm off on a tangent. All right, never mind. But he said this. He made this statement. He said, if I could just get my people, what a church. They sent preachers all over the world. What a church. When he was preaching, sometimes there was as many as 2,000 people in the basement of that church on their knees praying. What a church. Standing room only every service. 5 minutes before you had to buy a ticket to go to church. 5 minutes before the services started, they opened the doors, and if you could find a place to stand in the balconies or down on the main floor, you're welcome to come in. Man, what a church. He said, if I could just get my people to read their Bible, my ministry will have been a success. Amen. I thought, wow, that's what's got to happen at Fundamental. Right. That's what's got to happen in the year 2024. If we can just get some more Bible students, some more people reading and studying the Word of God. I'm the true vine. The Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm going to come back to that. Let me read right on down to verse 11, and then I want to kind of tie everything together. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Father, I don't have much time left, just moments. I want to tie this all together, and I need your help to do that. I don't have a super outline in front of me. I left that a long time ago. Lord Jesus, I pray that you just help me to share the three things that I want to drive home this morning and make it very clear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some things that I've learned. If I'm going to abide in Christ as a man, a sinner man, saved by grace, we are also human. I have got to stay humble. Sometimes people get a degree and they think that makes them something. Sometimes people get an earthly promotion and they think that that authority makes them something. Not in your standing before God. Pride is repulsive to God above. He doesn't need your talent. He doesn't need my talent. It's good for me to remember who I am. It's good for me to remember where I came from. It's good for me to remember how good God is to Tim Rader. The Apostle Paul said some things that I think are very pointed. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Sometimes as human beings, we tend to oversell ourselves. That's why we tell God with our actions, I don't need you today, God, I got Monday handled. I don't need you this afternoon, Lord, I got plans. You know, just kind of stay in the back in the shadows somewhere and watch over me. And we tend to think we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Paul referred to himself as the chiefest of sinners. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, he said, O wretched man that I am. Ephesians 3 and verse 18, he said he was he was less than the least of all the saints. I say the apostle Paul, in my estimation, is the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. And he considered himself less than the least of all the saints. If I'm going to be used of God this year, I got to be a humble man. I got to be someone that doesn't think I got this covered and manipulate and work behind the scenes and do everything, get everything accomplished that I want to accomplish and leave God and the Holy Spirit out of everything. If Fundamental Baptist Church is going to reach 1,000 people, if Fundamental Baptist Church is more than going to reach them, Fundamental Baptist Church is going to have a congregation that meets of 1,000 people. If that's going to happen, we can't ever become an uptown church. We can't ever get proud. We have got to stay humble before God. There was a post that was on the internet when we put out an artist rendering of the new tabernacle and where we're going. In my heart I said this, you don't got to worry about that, buddy. I don't know who it is, but he said, stay humble. I said, if you come up here, you'd see. But the truth is, we all do have flesh. And if we ever get to the place where we think we're the big deal, we're the big kahuna, we're the one that really is doing the work, we're the one that's really pleasing God. Man, God will take our, it'll be Ichabod so quick, it'll make your head spin. Amen. Maybe that explains some of your life. If you're going to be used of God, you got to be humble. We oversell ourselves in our minds. And in fact, I would tell you this, and it would be good for you to hear this from your own words and your own lips. We need to proclaim. Let's do this as a church. Let's proclaim to our Jerusalem how good God is. Let's proclaim to our Jerusalem that every victory that we've ever had here or ever will have, it's all because of Jesus. And I want to encourage you as your pastor. You need to hear yourself say these words. You need to hear these words come out of your mouth periodically, every once in a while. Let me tell you about my best friend. He's the reason it's happened. Or something like, I'd be lost without Jesus. Yeah. It's got to come from your words. It's got to be your words. You need to hear yourself saying that. Something like this. Buddy, you don't understand. He rescued me. He rescued me. You got to verbalize that so you hear yourself saying that. Not that that's magic, but I mean, I'm telling you, the heart is desperately wicked. And we get full of ourselves too quick. One victory, and we're full of ourselves. Humble yourself before God. Be a humble man, lest we forget. I believe that some of the greatest New Testament pastors that have ever lived will never hear their name here on this earth. We will in heaven. Some of those that are the greatest New Testament Christians, lay people that are the greatest New Testament Christians, they're not on a pedestal here down here on this earth. They're the ones working behind the scenes. Humble people. Let's strive for that. Number two, we've got to be visionary. Luke in chapter 12, and by the way, Jesus said it in Luke 15, without the vine, the branch is nothing. Nothing. No fruit. We got to abide. We got to continue. We got to stay hooked up. We got to be visionary. Luke 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. We need to be a people of vision. Psalm 78 and verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted or tested God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of thee and I'll give thee the heathen for an inheritance. Psalm 81 and verse 10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. We need to look to God and ask God for his very best. We need to look to God and ask God to do great things in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and all the counties that are surrounding us. We need to stop limiting God and what God can do and understand that God isn't limited by walls, and God isn't limited by finance, and God isn't limited by talent. God is just looking for vessels, just simple, humble people that he can use, and people of vision that will never limit God. John 14, verse 12, greater works than these shall you do. Because I go to my Father, and I'm sending the Comforter, the church age. You'll do greater works than the things you've seen me do while I was here on this earth. Man, that is powerful. That speaks of a limitless God. Can I take you into my prayer closet for just a moment? I've shared this before. Church of a Thousand's always been my hope, my dream, my vision. I call it my vision, but you know, it's not like I had a dream. That's not it. But I don't want to limit God. I just feel like a church of 1,000 people can make a bigger splash than a church of 400 people. I just feel like a church of 1,000 people can carry a bigger stick and hit them out of the park for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's people being unified and staying together and God blessing. And this is how my prayers have turned of late. I know I'm not young anymore, and I know I'm slowing down, but I'm not throwing in the towel. And I encourage any of you old men, don't quit. Don't change directions. Just pace yourself. That's all you got to do. Don't change directions. Just pace yourself. You're not as strong as you used to be. That's fine. But keep going in that same direction. And this has been my prayer. God, now Bill's here this morning. Josh isn't here this morning, and it's okay for Bill to hear this, and it'd be okay for Josh to hear this as well. But God, would you give us that new tabernacle? Would you give us that auditorium? Would you allow us to gather 1,000 people? And God, I don't want to die the day after it happens. I'm not asking you to take me home then. Would you let me enjoy it for a few years? That's my prayer. I'm going to preach on vision next Sunday morning. I'm asking God to do it and do it quickly because time is running out. And in the meantime, and I really would like to enjoy it. I don't want to retire. I don't want to step away from the pulpit. That's not it. I want to continue being the pastor as long as I'm in my right mind and have enough energy to do it. And the guys around me are supporting me like they are. And then the time will come maybe where I'm sitting in a rocking chair off to the side and I'll be the amener. I just want to enjoy it for a while. That's a selfish prayer. I know that. But at the same time, God does give us the desires of our heart. And that is my prayer. Be humble and be a person of vision. Let's be a church that is humble and a church of vision. Look at verse 16 of John and chapter 15. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You understand, Jesus is teaching about the branch and the vine and how God is the husbandman, God the Father. And the branch, if it'll stay hooked up to the vine, man, they're going to be fruitful. He said, I got a purpose for you being here. And you're going to bear fruit. I'll purge you from time to time. I'm going to prune you from time to time. I'm going to cut off that dead wood. It's going to be painful from time to time. But you will bear much fruit. Stay connected. You've got to abide. Let me skip right on all the way ahead. I just want to kind of cover my last point. And these are things that we've got to be anchored. We've got to be anchored in the Word of God. We can't do our own thing. We, like I've already preached, our heart is desperately wicked. If we are not careful as a people of God, we'll get all caught up in some trend or some fad. And fads are appealing, but only the Bible is satisfying. Only the Bible will stand the test of time. It all comes down to this. We've got to get hooked up. We've got to continue. We've got to abide in Jesus. And the only way to do that is by way of the Word of God. What is that verse? It's right here. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 9 times he says to abide. He says it's the Bible or bust. 15 in verse 3. Continue. Abide. Verse 7. He said it's Bible praying. And I'm going to answer those prayers. And it's Bible living in verse 10. And Bible blessing where we'll know the blessing of God and the warmth of God. Just stay true to the Word of God. Forget about what the culture is dictating. Don't let the culture dictate Bible. People come here year after year and are continuing to come here because they hear the Word of God. That's it. And we're concerned about sinners. And we're seeing people get saved. I'll close with this. I shared this 2 weeks ago because I thought, wow. I was at a funeral downstate. A pastor came up to me and said, Brother so-and-so, I won't name him because he might watch the live stream, but that's fine. We came up and visited your church last summer. I said, oh, really? And I didn't recognize him. He said, I hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope we treated you right. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I want to tell you what happened. On the way there, we got over the bridge and started driving north. And my wife said several times, there's nothing here. Used to people. Got off the Kinross exit and drove through the metropolis of Kinross and said, there's nothing here. Drove through Kinross and back into the woods again. And she said, again, there's nothing here. And then we pulled in the parking lot. And the place was packed. We went into the church and we had a fight for a seat in the back. And I never sit in the back. And we got done with it. It was a wonderful service. And we got back into the vehicle, got in our truck. And he said, I got ready to start my truck. And I looked over and our eyes met. And she said, that doesn't make any sense. And he said, what do you mean? He said, there's nothing out here. And all these people coming, it doesn't make sense. You know what? That is exactly God. Now, I jokingly said, buddy, you just described the ministry of Fundamental Baptist Church. If you knew the preacher a little bit better and the assistant pastors, you would say, no, that doesn't make any sense. None whatsoever. But God, it is God. God has so much for you and me and this church in the year 2024. But if you get proud, forget it, buddy. It's all done. Sister, it's all done. And I just tell you where you're leaving, loosen your halo a little bit and get your nose in the Word of God. God will get a hold of you again. You need to abide in Christ. Have a little vision. Quit being a defeatist. Quit saying things like, oh, the old time religion doesn't work. It does work. Get a little vision. And be anchored to the Word of God. Don't follow a man. Follow the Bible.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.